Jason and Sister Trista. Hallelujah. Amen. Jerry Rush, how about you praying for us, please? Okay, welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church. Go ahead. Okay. Again, welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Secret Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read it according to schedule. Read it backwards if you want to. I don't care. But I'd read it if it was me. Okay. We've been in Genesis. And if you remember, it's been a good while back. I can't hand everything out. I'd hand you a booklet, but I wanted to give you the outline again in case you'd lost it. But if you remember, there's really only two divisions in the book of Genesis. And the first division is plenary. And plenary, if you remember, means all things. And we saw the creation of all things. And then man corrupted all things. And so God had to condemn all things. And then man got confused, and we've been confused ever since. The confusion of all things. That's the first half of Genesis. Well, Brother Rick, that's only 11 chapters, I know. But it's almost like they're two books. Now we're going to start in the second part, second P word, the patriarchs. That's our forefathers is who it is. Last week we looked at Abraham just briefly in the end of chapter 11 there. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph. That's going to be our four patriarchs. Four big points we had in chapters 1 through 11. The creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. And now we've got four patriarchs. As we travel on down in the second half of the book, we'll see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph, our hero. I can't hardly wait to get to Joseph, our hero. And, well, Brother Rick, why Abraham? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7. If you remember, we were all heathens when God called Abraham out last week. And I just wanted you to know why Deuteronomy 7:7-8 tells us exactly why God called Abraham out from a bunch of heathens. It says, "The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people." That's not why He called Abraham. It's not why He called us Baptists. That's not why Mountain State's here today. "For you were fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you." The Lord, why did the Lord love us, brother? Well, He loved you because He loved you. He didn't love me because my hair was perfect. He didn't love me because I was the strongest or the biggest or the most. He just loved me because He loved me. It's called grace. You're here this morning because of grace. God loved you because He loved you. It wasn't because I was the best looking. No. Or smartest, richest, dumbest. No. He loved us because He loved us. That's why. And you'll never find any other reason. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. He just loved us because He loved us. Now, we'll try to act out the timeline this morning. We've handed it out several times on paper. But like I said, I can't run everything off or you'd have a booklet to take home. 2 Peter, we've used this. 2 Peter 3:8. I'm throwing you off there, Jeremy, but 2 Peter 3:8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." That's just an easy way to remember history. History. There's 7 days in a week, and so far man's been on earth 6 days, 6,000 years. We've got one more to go. Let me see if we can get the big picture here first, then we'll try to look at Genesis. Let's say from here to that wall is 2,000 years. As far back as man can go is 4,000 B.C. I'm on this side of the cross over there in the middle. 4,000 before Christ is the way we were taught in grade school. I know the Christ haters are trying to change that now. I'll never change it. B.C. is before Christ. That's not the exact words. That's just how my teacher told me to remember it. That's why I'm telling you. All there is 4,000 B.C. before Christ, before the cross. It's not 4 million. It's not 4 billion.
Right.
It's not 4 trillion.
That is right.
It's 4,000.
Right.
4,000 B.C. We'll let that wall equal the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And we've just come through 11 chapters, and we're right here. We've done covered 2,000 years.
Yeah.
In the book of Genesis, the first 11 chapters are 2,000 years. Then we're going to go, in Genesis is going to go over here about 350 more years, about right here, and that's going to be the end of the book of Genesis. We're going to have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph right about here. Then there's going to be about, remember on this side of the New Testament, there's 400 quiet years. So we just got about another 1,000 years. Your Old Testament covers about this 1,000 years right here. And then God stops talking about right here about 400 years before the cross. We're talking about, the way you spell history is His story. Got the cross in the middle is the way we remember it. Now, you came to church this morning on March the 7th. 2025, it's about right here. About right here is where we're at. Now the cross is behind us, still in the middle. We only got one more 1,000 to go. From there to the wall is eternity, or out that wall is eternity. Here's 2,000 AD. After death is what they said in Sunday school. I'll never change it. That's the way I'm going to keep remembering it. 2,000 AD is where we're at. And the next thing to happen, Jesus is going to come back for us. 7 years later, He's going to come back with us. And then we got 1,000 year honeymoon on earth. That's just for believers. That's just for those that's received Him. That's how the Genesis lays out.
Right.
Now on your paper, I go with 2,000 AD. On your paper, it's got that two times on your handout. One time it says 1800. I wish I'd have marked that off. But it might be 1800. I don't know. That 2,000 years is approximate. If you want to believe 1800, that's fine. I'm just giving you an easy way to remember it. Now, here's four more things. I had you four on that side for chapter 11. Four things on this side of chapter 11. Here's another one on your handout. God's chosen nation accomplishes four purposes. How about that? We got a bunch of fours this morning. Number one, Israel kept alive the worship of one true God. One true God. That wasn't very popular back in the day, and we learned last week about the Tower of Babel, where a lot of false religions took off, especially mother-son cults. And other false religions that worshiped many gods, maybe even the 12 signs of the zodiac and stuff like that. Crazy stuff. Number two reason Israel is popular or famous or important to us even, Israel received and preserved God's written word for future generations. See, we're thankful to Israel for a Bible. If it wasn't for Israel, we wouldn't have a Bible. And then Israel illustrated to other nations the blessedness of serving the one true God. If someone asks you, how do I know the Bible's true in one word, what would you tell them? Here's what you say. You say the Jew. The Jew is how we know the Bible's true in one word. The Jew, Israel, has proved that it's valuable, expedient to believe in one God, the one true God.
Yes,
Israel's proof of that. And then number four, Israel brought forth the Messiah. We're in debt to Israel for a Savior and for the Scriptures. Matter of fact, a perfect sinless Savior and a perfect sinless book of Scriptures. So we got Abraham coming on the scene here about 2000 B.C., And God promised to give him a piece of land. And since he owns it all, you know, every once in a while we'll talk about that real estate's a good investment. And I'll even say, you know, they're not making any more of it.
Right.
But the truth is, he's not making any more of it. He done made it all. He can give it to who he wants to. He gave Israel a little piece over there about the size of West Virginia. And that's theirs. That's theirs. You see it in Jeremiah 27:5 on your handout. He said, I've made the earth and I've given it to whom it seemed meet to me. He said, I'll do with it what I want to. He gave it to Israel. He gave it to Abraham. And one reason he did that is back in that day, Israel, if you look at it on the map, is in the middle. If you lay out a flat globe, make the flat map, Israel's in the middle. And when God says north, he's talking about north of Israel, in particular north of Jerusalem. When he says east, he's talking about east of Jerusalem and Israel. When he says south, he's talking about south of Israel. And when he says west, he's talking about west of Israel. It has nothing to do with Nahalim. It's all about him. Genesis 12:2, he said, I'll make thee a great nation, I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And God's been doing that. Was 4,000 years ago, 2,000 that way, 2,000 that way. And you pick up a newspaper today and you might read about Israel on the way home.
Right.
God said he'd preserve it. Israel wasn't a nation. They were dispersed on the face of the earth, and then they became a nation again May 14th, 1948, God said it would happen. It never happened again in history. A nation was a nation, then they wasn't a nation, then it become a nation again. God said it would happen.
Right.
It happened in 1948. Right. It's about time for him to come back.
Yes, it is.
Now, a lot of times when I'm into this, I forget to mention Job, but on your handout it talks about the patriarchs here. I already said Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. But then Job is a patriarch. The book of Job was written just a little bit before Genesis. He lived in the time of these patriarchs. Job is a patriarch. And so I don't want to mark him off. Your handout says that Abraham is one of the, let's see, seven greatest men that ever lived. If you want to argue with that a little bit, I'll go in there with you. I'm going to put Joseph. Joseph's not on that list. I'm going to move him up. I know he come out of Abraham, but I'm going to put him up there with Abraham. And so, in the past over there, the first 2,000 years, the first 11 chapters in Genesis, the Lord's been using a shotgun. He's been talking to men and the world. And he's been using the floodlight over here, just talking about everything, creation and the universe. But now he's going to zero in and use a rifle. He's going to quit using a shotgun. And he's going to zero in with a spotlight.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at individuals. And like we said before, the rest of the book is about Abraham. The rest of the Bible is about Abraham. I didn't realize it so much till this time through. But Abraham's pretty important. And Buddy Kinzer said, he always said, I'm half Jew. See, we got grafted in. We were wild fruit, wild. And we got grafted in a tree. And Buddy would say when he got to heaven, he'd be 100%. He said right now he's only half Jew. When he gets to heaven, he'll be 100%. I don't know. But that's now the 350 years is what we're going to be looking at. That's going to be chapters 12 to chapter 50. Cover 350 years right on this side of the 2000 mark. We're going to see a city destroyed on the plains and a boy spared in the mountains. We're going to see a son that deceives a father, and then he's going to get deceived by his sons. You know, what goes around comes around. We're going to see the first barren wife, which we read that last week in chapter 11. Remember, Sarah was barren and she had no children. And then we'll see the first dying mother is Rachel. And then we're going to see Abraham is God's friend. He talks to him about a city, going to destroy a city. And God's friend talks him out of 10 of them or 6 of them. And Jerusalem is a picture of heaven. Egypt's a type of the world. That's going to continue on through in the rest of your Bible. Then we're going to see a king called Melchizedek and a cave called Machla, or something like that. Three Bible covenants, one with Noah, one with David, and then the new covenant. You might be in on the new covenant today. You might already got in on that. Your handout says the importance of Abraham's life cannot be underestimated. He's mentioned 308 times in the Bible, 234 in the Old Testament, 74 in the New Testament. Abraham. Israel, if you will. Israel. And then what it says right here, God gives us more detail about Abraham than the origin of the universe. See, Abraham's going to get about all 12 chapters or something like that. And God described the creation in two. In two. Well, let's look at it then. We're in chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. God starts His nation. 12 to 25 is actually Abraham. That's 13 chapters. And they overlap. Abraham and Isaac, they overlap. And then Isaac and Jacob, they overlap. It's not exact. And then Jacob and Joseph. But on the paper here, I got 12 to 25. I might even change on that. Here's how it got started. Psalms 135. Psalm 135, verse number 4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. The Lord can do it. He starts his nation off there. We read it last week, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. And we're all in debt, like I said, we're really in debt to this nation for the Scriptures and for the Savior. The trade routes pass through Israel from north, south, east, and west, so they would all learn about one God. It's a big deal back then. We're used to it. We grew up in America, but it was a big deal back then that there was one God, one true God. Many tried to blot out the Jew. We said that the Jew, the nation, proves the Bible, proves God's Word. In 1356, Germany put what was left of the Jewish people into special quarters called ghettos. This is a long time before Hitler.
Yes.
It's the 1300s. They tried to stamp them out, eliminate them, put them over in a corner. That didn't work. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But that's not all. That's not all. In Spain, that wasn't all that was going on. Spain ordered the Jews out of the land. Let's read about a little bit about it. Not that, but Israel. Jeremiah 31. This is what God says about them. Thus saith the Lord, the big Lord, the capital L, the capital O, the capital R, capital D, that one God that we're talking about. That's what He said, which giveth the sun for a light by day. That's the God I'm talking about, the one that made the sun. And the ordinances of the moon. He told the moon, you make the tide do what it does, or everybody down there on earth's going to die. If it don't clean that algae in the ocean, everybody's going to die. I need to keep those waves hitting the seashore 26 times to the minute in all kinds of ways. That's knocking me down, that the tide is 26 times to the minute, no matter what.
Yeah.
The one true God did that. The one that wrote the ordinance. When he wrote the ordinance for the moon, he said, moon, you take care of that tide. Loves the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. And the Lord of hosts is his name.
Yeah.
If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease to become a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. In other words, they're going to be here forever. Israel's going to be around forever. Now they was, and then they wasn't, and now they are again. That's never happened. God said it.
Yeah.
Let me just, let's try Romans 3. I said we're thankful for the Savior, but Romans 3, that's not all. Here's the advantage they had. They passed it on to us.
Yeah.
What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? Much profit every way, much advantage every way. Chiefly, the main advantage is because that unto them were committed the oracles. What's the oracles, Brother Rick? Well, it's the Bible.
Yes, amen.
The chief thing the Israel did for us is give us a Bible and a Savior, the Scripture and the Savior.
Yes.
We're in debt to them for that. John 4:22. It all starts there in Genesis 12 with Abraham. John 4:22. We're talking about the one God. One God.
Yeah.
Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. It's the Savior, perfect sinless Savior. Or the darling Son of God. That's what we're talking about. Let me just ask, take a survey right here. How many, your favorite part of the Bible is Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm? Anybody like that? We memorized it.
Yeah.
We memorized it. Well, guess what? A Jew wrote it.
Yeah.
How about maybe 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? Anybody like that over in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Is that
your? Yeah.
Oh, guess what? A Jew wrote it.
Yeah.
Maybe you like Chapter 15, the resurrection chapter.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? A Jew wrote it.
Yeah.
Hey, those 150 Psalms, a Jew wrote every one of them, and they sang them in church.
Yeah.
They sang them in church. A Jew. We're in debt to the Jew.
Yeah.
We owe them.
Sure.
We owe them. I love them. The first 2,000 years, your paper's wrong, your handout's wrong. I got that all wrong when I typed it. God appeared to Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Adam. But he made Abram great. He made Abraham generous. He made Abraham famous. And he gave Abraham faith to believe. He gave you faith to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you're here. It's a gift of God. Faith's a gift.
Yeah.
I didn't have it.
I didn't have it.
The Lord gave it to me. Thankful for that. You know why he gave you faith? Because he loved you.
Right.
You didn't earn it. He loved you because he loved you. It's the same reason he loved me. He loved me because he loved me.
Yeah,
I can't do nothing to make him stop loving him. Loving me. I can't make him start loving me. He just decided one day he's going to love us.
Yeah,
that's the end of it. You can't do nothing about it.
That's right.
You're in like Flint.
Yeah.
If the Bible's true, you don't have nothing to worry about this morning.
Amen. It's true.
Is it true?
It's true.
Well, I'm going to start acting like it.
Yeah, it's true.
Is it really?
Every word.
Okay. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. He said, get thee out. He's going to show him a place. Brother Steve had a place one day. He had a place. He saw a place. But we got a place too. Let's look at it in Galatians. But Israel's got a place. Galatians 3:6-7. Here's what the Lord thinks about it. Even as Abraham believed God. Anybody in here believe God?
Yeah.
And it was counted. Guess what? It'll get counted. Accounted just like an accounting term, like a debit or credit. You can get marked up as having faith and being righteous this morning, even though you're not.
Yeah.
You can get in this morning. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham wasn't righteous.
Right.
But he got marked down righteous when he believed God, when he believed what God said in His Word. God accounted him righteous. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Where's Brother Dennis? Through faith. Through faith. Through faith. That's verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Let me ask you this morning. Are you claiming a promise or keeping a law?
Yeah, I'm claiming a promise.
Hallelujah. We'll go by faith like Abraham. Verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. So Buddy Kinzer was right. He is half Jew. One day he'll be 100%. Maybe even already. Let's go back to Genesis 12. You can get in and be just as strong in the family as Father Abraham was. The ground's level at the cross. Anybody can get in. That was the place. Here's the promises. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's what I'm talking about. Pick up a newspaper and you'll read about Abraham today in the newspaper. God did what He said. He meant what He said, and He said what He meant. And I will bless them that bless thee. I'm glad we're on Israel's side now. And curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The promised land, the nation, a blessing. Israel is has the longest tenure of any other nation, the oldest nation on earth. And God said it. He said it that be that way. God's running things. He's doing exactly what He said He would do. And it's about time for Him to come back. Guess what? I'm going to go ahead and start saying it. You can trust your Bible.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been trying to hold back. Verse 4 and 5 now, we look at the pilgrimage. We might look at that a little bit later. But a pilgrim is not an orphan. Not the same thing as an orphan. A pilgrim, it's not that he doesn't have a home. It's just he's not there yet.
Right.
We're pilgrims. They call those 1620 pilgrims. They named them after us. A pilgrimage. Abraham started his pilgrimage when he was 75 years old here in verse 4. A pilgrimage is a journey to a sacred place.
Sure.
Guess what? We're going to a sacred place. You're on a journey to a sacred place. There's something inside you drawing you home like a homing pigeon. Like a homing missile. Like a missile headed to home. We're going home. We're going where Jesus is at. Verse 4. So Abraham departed just like God told him. Well, we saw he had some problems there. But Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. That's one of his problems. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai's wife and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and unto the land of Canaan they came. That's the pilgrimage. That's the pilgrimage. Now, here's another problem on your hand out there. That says a seaport city. That should say a river city. Ur was on the river. And, it was a rich city. And what I learned is Sarah may have even had a bathtub. It's possible. But ladies, she's getting ready to move out and live in a tent. Ur's at the edge of the wilderness, and she's getting ready to go into the wilderness and live in a tent. My hat's off to Sarah. I don't know. I don't know how many done that. I think I forgot this. Did I announce Tuesday dinner, senior dinner. Granny said lasagna, high noon, Tuesday. I forgot to announce it. Okay, verse 6. Back, get your mind back here in the Bible. Six and seven, yeah. Here's Abram at Shushim. The Canaan of Abram. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shushim, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Here he worships, he builds an altar. He's leaving something behind that everybody that passes this way sees this altar of stone, and they know about Abraham and the one true God. He leaves a testimony behind. It's what he's doing. He is worshiping right then the one true God, but that's not all. He's leaving a testimony. He's leaving something behind. And God did not appear to Abraham again till he got out. Until he obeyed. Until I obey the light God gives me, he won't show me nothing else. First thing he told me after I got saved is get baptized. If I never got baptized, he'd never show me nothing else. I got baptized, then he'd show me something else. Then he'd show me join the church. Then he'd show me to show up.
That's good.
8 and 9. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hion on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now over in the New Testament, we'll see it's always good to go south. We figured out this morning Melvin went south just at the right time, at the nick of time. He got out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He still hadn't learned to like ramps. He's still messed up. But it's almost always good to go south, except not here, because we just learned that Egypt is south, and that Egypt represents the world. So Abram messes up right here. And he leaves Bethel. We learned about that, Brother Roger. Bethel, that's the house of God. And he leaves that. I'm glad he built an altar before he left, but he shouldn't have never went to Egypt. He messes up. So in verse 10, we see the carnality of Abram. Verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down. He went down into the world. He went down into Egypt to sojourn. Sojourn's like a vacation. For the famine was grievous in the land. Abram went down, turned his back on the house of God, and then guess what? All of a sudden, he starts worrying.
Yep. Think about that. Better listen.
Now he's going to need a psychiatrist and a psychologist. He's worrying. He's got some phobias. The first thing he's worried about is his wife. He wasn't worried about his wife back at the house of God until he went over to the tractor bar. Now he's worried about his wife. Then he gets into another phobia. Then he starts worrying about an Egyptian might kill him. He wasn't worried about that back in the house of God.
That's right.
But over at the tractor bar he is. They might have a knife.
Yes,
sir. See, over there I drink out of my left hand. I don't use a straw. I watch everything. Keep my eyes open. An Egyptian might kill me. It's better to starve plumb to death in the house of God than to go down in Egypt and live in luxury.
Yes, sir.
He was making excuses when he could have been resting. See, you're all relaxed. You're safe in the house of God. You're resting. You could be resting. But he starts making excuses for his phobias.
You're helping.
And then he's willing to give his wife to save his own skin. It's getting bad. It's getting worse all the time. This failure in Egypt was all a test for Abraham. He needs to trust God for everything, not just salvation. And that's what Brother Rick needs to do. I need to trust God for everything, not just for salvation. God didn't tell him to go down to Egypt. He just figured that out on his own. Sometimes I'll ask the young'uns, I say, you think of that on your own? Somebody tell you to do that? Who told you to do that?
Yeah, right.
He went down into Egypt. Here's what happens. The world draws us, and then we rationalize. I don't think we heard.
Yeah. Good.
Here's what happens. The world draws Brother Rick, and then he rationalizes.
Yes, sir.
Let's look at that in Isaiah 31. Let's see, Isaiah 31:1. Woe, Brother Rick. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help.
Yeah, think about
and
that.
Stay on horses and trust in chariots because they're many, and in horsemen because they're very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One God of Israel, and neither seek the Lord.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm afraid we're out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. God, thank you for Abraham and his family. Thank you for Israel. Thank you for a perfect sinless Savior and a perfect sinless, no error mistake Bible. We can trust our Bible. Thank you for the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.